Brass Tacks, the Monday edition. Good afternoon.
Mr. Johnson.
Hello.
Mr. Johnson.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Johnson. NASA, how are you?
I'm fine, sir. And you?
Good, good. I called to congratulate you. I don't know if you want the whole production, but you heard it. The way you presented it, I know you both presented it. But it's a fantastic job you did for Mr. Ellis on Friday.
Friday. Yes, sir. Thank you very much. It was a team effort. I was just the ringmaster.
And I want to say that I congratulate Mr. Ellis on his retirement, but the truth is, the man is too young to retire, and I'm sure he will not be retired. He will find a job or some. My father, he must have some job. Right? But he's confusing the guys to take a job for them is unbelievable. So I wish him tremendous success, and I hope that God bless him to live many, many, many years and keep him alert and sharp and as intelligent as he is. But this is why I want to call him, and that is from my heart, Mr. Johnson. But this is what I want to fight about. When a woman goes to move to vote, she has 60%, 5% less vote than power than the man?
Not as far as I know.
So the woman has the same voting power as the man and for the vote, right? Well, let me tell you, Mr. Johnson, any organization, including yours, that believes that a man could work to 65 and a woman to 60, the government of the day must be held responsible for a long time. Any government. So don't know you can tell Dr. Prince, accusing her of that thing. I'm talking about the government there anyway in the world. Because the law must be passed, all human beings are equal, male or female, and all should have equal pay, equal terms, equal times. Everything should be fair and just. I think that one of the problems that we are having in the world, Mr. Johnson, is that we still do not understand that every human being is entitled to rights that is equal to the other human being's rights. What is your opinion about that, Mr. Johnson?
Sir, I had asked a government, a member of the government that I knew at that point, about this question of discrimination in the Constitution. And the person's response was, the government cannot discriminate, but we discriminate every day. We as individuals and companies, etc., discriminate every day. So therefore, the discrimination in the Constitution does not apply to them. And I'll tell you the reason why I asked the person. I read a want ad in The Nation that said, exotic dancer required. Blondes preferred, locals need not apply. It was a want ad in the newspaper. And I asked the government official at the time, why is this possible? Because this ad basically says, I want to bring in some foreigner woman to dance in Barbados. And this foreigner woman, who must be blonde, is going to need a work permit. And the person said to me, they could have put blue eyes and the height too, because I said, but that's discrimination. He said, but yeah, it don't apply to the person who ought to bring the body in. Sir, I see it. I don't think it's right. And that's why I made the comments I made to the caller. But until we get to the stage where perhaps when we become a republic, we will change the Constitution to reflect that level of discrimination. But until then, there ain't nothing stopping somebody from doing it.
No, I don't understand that, Mr. John. But I'm saying that the government, I don't care which one it is, the women of the country should vote against any government or any party unless they decide to bring equal rights for women and men in this country. Because you're asking me to go in a vote for a woman and vote for you, and my one vote could cause you to win a not 3-1. My one vote can cause you, if it's a 66 or 50-50, so to speak, my one vote could cause you to win a seat, to be a parliamentarian, to get your pension, all that. But At the same time, you are in a country that telling me we have to be fair and just. At the same time, you are allowing men to manipulate women to the stage where they can determine that they myself 5 years or 10 years or just maybe longer than a woman. The woman should not vote for you. The government must be told. I don't. First, I want you know me. I got to be very careful, Mr. Johnson. I want to clung on think that I'm talking against this government. I am talking against any organization that is ruling, that is leading the country, not allowing equal rights and pay and everything, because it's only victimization, there's only spite, there's only that they're stronger than you, and that you all don't come in. So therefore, we're here before. When a judge, a female judge, is on the bench, she has less rights than a male judge.
Not as far as I know. So, and the point I'm making to you is that because the judges are in government employ, that discrimination that we're talking about in the private sector does not apply, apparently.
Well, I understand, Mr. Johnson, what we are saying, but I am saying that it should be applied and it must be changed, that that all human beings are equal and for equal work, they should get equal pay.
I agree with that.
Then it'd be about that.
I agree with that.
Trying to push a point, right? And the next two is that we have just had, that is one. So here's the next one now. We just come out of something called Black History Month.
Black History Month, yes.
You know that it never is. The month gone, and nobody even know that it was the Black History Month because of the COVID. But I want to ask them.
Why you would say that? There are articles in the newspaper about various people of color who have...
Not like what we used to do, Mr. Johnson.
What do you mean? People put on African clothes?
They do that too, but...
Oh, okay. What else does do to celebrate it? Anyway. So Black Friday for the stores where they make money makes more of a splash than Black History Month, but go ahead. That's just my sarcasm.
Oh, but you're right.
I don't have to be.
I want to make though that a country with a history of nearly 70% or more of the people being black, or the Caribbean for that matter. How come we got a little short, picky foolishness called a Black History Month instead of every radio station by law should have a right that 1 day a week, a matter of fact, it should be one every day. But 1 day a week, they should be pushing into the heads of all people, both the whites and the blacks, the Indians, all of us, the importance of understanding discrimination and how we are in the positions we are in versus the position that they are in. And these things will help, but no. Black History Month, Mr. Johnson, I remember, because the COVID-19 had me so busy trying to survive. I remember it. And by the way, I heard a clip there from, and I laugh at all the things, I heard a clip there from Nixon, where he was saying that the Honorable News for a Canada that came up with the idea of a million mile march, that the idea is good, but he saw it up for a can came up with it. The people who joke the syphilis injections into men, black men, to give the syphilis so they can kill themselves and kill the children that come along. He didn't sorry about that. They got to wake up, Mr. Johnson. I mean, how can you tell me that I can't have an idea or you can't have an idea? And because I don't like you, I can say the idea should be somebody else. So that makes sense to you, Mr. Johnson. But and I support you of the same idea you can have, you know. By the way, call my nobody fool. You don't can't fool you, Mr. Johnson. But I know this. That a lot of people criticize people survive and achieve success because of the people who they criticize had the guts to stand up and speak out against things wrong. And I am saying that the time has come, Mr. Johnson, in this country. When our voters must decide. We've got judges, we've got doctors, we've got all kind of bright women in Barbados that must look and see what is in this constitution or what is in this country that's discriminated against them and take a stand against it. And whichever party decides to give assurance that it will change it, support them and I bet all the other parties would do it, Mr. Johnson. I just want to see fairness and justice in this country. You know that more?
So the unfortunate thing is, I don't believe there are enough people who see this as a reason for them to get agitated. So the problem with a lot of the things that you rile up against and that sometimes I support and that I rile up against and sometimes you support and sometimes you don't is this. The things you may see as being unjust, once it doesn't affect somebody, they may not see it as being important. And that's why I made, when I started the program, I made reference to a Glen Campbell song where he said, let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults about those about me. Let me praise a little more. Until it becomes our problem, we don't see it as being a problem. So the managing director, CEO, who knows that at 65, when he retires, he has a consultancy, he has a seat on the board, he has an income from his various investments, he has a nest egg that he's put together because his salary allowed him to do it, he has an insurance policy or two. That's why a lot of people who we didn't know had investments in government, held government paper, had policies with CLECO, British American. We didn't know that they existed. We didn't know the challenges they were facing. They didn't say anything at the time because they were looking forward to a nest egg in their golden years. And then somebody break the eggs on the way to the market and they realize we have nothing to stand on. So they got together and they screamed and they shouted and they agitated because they wanted their problem fixed. Sir, that's human nature. And until we begin to see our brother who is meeker, our brother who needs help, the old lady who wet herself because she couldn't make it to the bathroom, as being our problem, we think we are right. So I going home tomorrow at 65, I got $100,000 in the bank, my car paid for, my house paid for, I have my insurance policy, I good. And I walk out the door and I realize the house collapsed, the insurance company bankrupt, the car breakdown, and I suddenly say, the government should help me, somebody should help me. Then I start looking for a brother who I didn't pay attention to help me. Until we see the problem of age discrimination that you mentioned, or height discrimination, or color of eyes discrimination, until we see that as being our problem, sir, nobody ain't gonna vote about it, because that's not what they're interested in. They're interested in something else. Always enjoy talking to you, sir. You were breaking up a little bit today with the phone, but that's life. Brass Dax, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Clearly.
Hi, Dennis. Can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly, sir.
Oh, great. I'm not sure because I don't get any signals here on the computer. This is Sai here in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you and John for letting me in today and give a quick shout out to the chat and the whole Brass Tax family. NY212, Oral Ego, CD Dreaming, The Annan View, Caribbean Woman 3, there's a whole host of them. So I want to shout them out because they're faithful listeners and they're on pretty much every day.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to say quickly about David's retiring, it was great to hear his children. It is great to hear your children while you are still alive, giving you those kinds of compliments. And you can only think that you've done well as a parent and as a father to have your children come on and talk the way they do.
Mm-hmm. I think it surprised him. I think he was happy to hear them.
Oh, yeah. I was very happy to hear it. And as I said, sitting up here in the cold that day, it was up here shoveling snow as usual. And it was fantastic to hear him. What I want to say, though, is that with respect to his retirement, give him a break, right? As we would say in Bajan terms. Let him relax and enjoy whatever time he decides to take off. And if and when he chooses to surface with respect to a project or something, he will. But the entire nation, based on the calls I'm hearing, seem to be saying, well, David, you must do this and you must do that. No, he doesn't have to do anything that he doesn't want to do. Who knows, you know, as I said, as we get over 60 and start to accelerate up, health issues tend to occur, and he might just want to take it easy and relax for a while. So stop pressuring people, pressuring the man that he must teach people and must, and if he's been working over 40 years, obviously you look at a lot of you who are there in the media, and a lot of his attributes have rubbed off on a lot of people with respect to the training and so on. So stop worrying. The program will continue. The station will continue. As I always say, the sun will rise and the sun will fall. That's all I really wanted to say about that. It was beginning to sound like a eulogy at times.
Yeah, indeed. I you know, that's one of the things, as I listened to the program on Friday, that I kept telling myself, where's the happiness about having worked with him? You know, the jokes that you may have shared, the fact that there may have been an in-house Calypso competition where he came on as the mighty somebody. You know, did he sing? Did he act? Was he, you know, one of the guys who would poke fun at people? Because there's a picture that I have in my office that I found when I was rummaging through the files when I came to work here and was sitting in a certain office. That had a picture of some VOB people in the early days, Maurice Norville with, you know, a hair and a younger looking Maurice, David Ellis with the sideburns they used to come across to almost the edge of your nose, you know, and a goatee, and a younger, sprightly looking fellow. And, you know, when you look at them, there was Adrian Agard in the background somewhere, Dean St. Hill in the front. I could almost see them in my mind. Patrick Foster, Cindy, Lucinda Rouse, the only female in the batch, Kent Jordan standing somewhere in the corner, and Whale Cool Simmons. These guys must have had some fun times together, some jokes. I remember Alison Seeley Smith saying at one point that, you know, they spent a lot of time, some of them, some, you know, calling anybody's name, in Studio 5. No, there are only three studios in here, or four. So one had to know where Studio 5 was located. I can only tell you Studio 5 was off-plant, but fairly close by. So obviously fun times in between the work times. And that's why, you know, you could hear some of the stories you heard from people like Linda Walrond and Julian Rogers, and even Vic.
And that's great. You know, they said it was fantastic to hear them. Another thing I want to quickly say is with respect to this age thing and succession planning and that kind of thing, it's okay to talk about age and experience and knowledge, but after a time, I think every single person, you get tired, man. You know, you get tired of the daily grind going and going and going. Mm-hmm. So regardless of how good you are at your job, ultimately you reach a point where you've had enough. And if you think I am joking on that one, look at what happens with respect to the retirement situation right around the world. The only place that it doesn't seem to apply, we were talking about there with the age discrimination, is in politics. If you look at the American House and the American politicians, they're the only people that seem to be, you know, I mean, politicians will go down to the, you know, the undertakers putting the last nail in the coffin, and they're still trying to give a speech, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we can't look at the age stuff. You can transfer your knowledge and experience to younger people without necessarily having to be there on the scene all the time. You know, as I said, give the man a break and then enjoy something other than having to get up at a set time every day. The last thing I want to quickly talk on is the program on Sunday. I was indisposed on a ladder doing a lot of work, so I couldn't call, but I could listen. And talking about driving and safety and so on, the car manufacturers have now made most cars so super safe with all of these driver aids and safety features that what you're noticing is that there's a generation of drivers who, for example, aren't gonna know how to parallel park because the car parks for
itself.
Them.
Yeah,
they don't know.
Yeah.
So they don't know how to look and see that there's a car in the blind spot because the blind spot mirror is supposed to tell them. Mm-hmm. Most of them now, especially here in North America, don't even know how to drive a standard car. So guys like me who like driving my standard car,
you mean as a stick shift?
Nobody to steal it. Yeah, it's a stick shift, so nobody gonna steal it, right? I got a 6-speed, so they don't even know how to drive it. And my son said the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So what is happening is that you have a generation of people whose attention to detail and driving is being eroded and getting worse and worse. And the question I always pose to the salesman when I go into a car dealership or something is, look, what happens when the computer does, like this computer I'm sitting here in front of, and most people's computers, what happens when it reboots? What happens when the software fails? You don't know how to reverse because the backup camera isn't working. You don't know how to park. You don't know how to safely pass. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that are heading your way because this autonomous driving and self-driving is the big thing.
It's not heading our way. It's here already because I can tell you, thanks to the good folks at Simpson Motors, good morning to them. I got the pleasure of driving a Mercedes that the only thing I didn't tell it to do was to take me to work and sit back. But, you know, I told it the temperature dropped, told it the radio station and it came up. Asked it to call my daughter, and it did, and, you know, pretty much did everything I told it. As a matter of fact, if I found a priest and two witnesses, I was going to marry it, because that's the only time I ever said Mercedes to a lady and got everything I want. I'm sorry, I'm being sarcastic again. No, but yeah, we have a lot of them. They're there. They're part and parcel of life today. And it does make you a little bit comfortable to the point where you forget to do the things that you're accustomed doing because you depend on your car to do it for you. But I wish, like you, I had the luxury of 6 speeds and enough road to use it. I would certainly, remember those days. But as you get older, we don't want to do it all the time. But yeah, sometimes we just want the creature comforts. As we head to the news, thanks for calling. Good to hear you. I got a correction. I was told to correct Brother Nasser. The doctors did not give syphilis injections to the airmen. They promised to try and cure them, and they did nothing but sit back and observe and record their suffering until they died. So in other words, they were used as guinea pigs in an experiment to see, I guess, how much the body could take before it falls apart under the pressure. There have been some comments about the issue with the national insurance. I've passed them on to the persons, and I hope that they are able to get it. I saw a comment here saying, could you ask the Minister of Education to speak about devices? My child needs one. The Ministry of Education, as far as I'm aware, are the ones who have been doing the handing out of devices. So perhaps the people at the ministry can assist. And if you would send the information to them, if you have, well, hopefully they get in touch with you and your child will be able to get whichever device you're trying to get for your child. 4341-790, the number you call when we get down to brass tacks. You can send a message to 266-4862, 266-IVOB. You can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. John Stout, our technical operator producer, Dennis Johnson, your host. We go until 2 o'clock. The WhatsApp message says, good day. Could each school not supply a list of students who do not have tablets and the list be used to distribute them in a more phased manner instead of people complaining all the time? The Ministry of Education could then report through the media which schools have been fully serviced. As of now, no one seems to know the true position, only reports of donations of tablets to the ministry. Well, you know, sometimes people do not want to expose their needs and may not want to openly say, I need, like with the care packages, people believe if you live in a certain area, you don't have a need. But when that word free comes up, then, you know, maybe it's not that organized that way, but it seems to be a good proposal. I don't know how it's organized, but what you say sounds reasonable.